Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm with Richard Brazier from Ancient and Modern Wines. How are you, Richard?
Very well, thanks very much.
Excellent. Richard, you're a wine merchant, I suppose that's the best way of describing it, dealing with older style wines. Do you want to just give us a quick overview about what you guys do?
Well, basically, it's a matter of giving people the ability to buy single bottles, firstly, not just cases, but also of semi-mature and mature wines, so that people don't lose the chance to taste the great vintages, say in Bordeaux, 82, 85, 89, 90, or having to pay extreme prices in the rare shops, say in London, that sell them. The other thing that we do, which we tend to specialise in, probably as much as anybody now, is anniversary bottles, particularly for 40, 50, 60-year-old anniversaries, and they always tend to be very popular now.
Oh, okay, so you don't need to necessarily buy a whole case. You buy the whole case and you're quite happy to split a
Absolutely,
case.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Do you do mixed cases and things like that?
Well, as many as, and whatever people want to do. I must admit, we tend to do less mixed cases than I used to in retail. And I'd rather do more mixed cases, quite frankly, but it's very often old bottles.
Okay. And how long have you guys been running for?
16 years this March.
16 years. And do you ship anywhere in the world or just the UK? Because we're in your place in Wiltshire here, and I won't give it away in case you keep stock here. I'm not sure if you do or not, but in the countryside.
Yes, we send single bottles out to Europe, but not really further afield than that. But otherwise, for sort of cases and what have you, yes, we ship things to any part of the world, basically.
Okay, most of your business in the UK, or?
Yes, it is, yes.
Any particular part of the UK that's more popular?
No, not at all. Well, I suppose the thing is that we have a number of companies also we sell to, and I go to London fairly regularly, so it is very much London which is the centre.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's because you've got these other companies you sell
well,
to?
Well, yes, and London, without sounding too pompous about it, is probably it's not only the centre of the wine trade in this country, but almost in the world, I think, really. The choice of wines available is immense in London.
Yeah, no, it is quite good fun, isn't it? How did you get into the business? You know, have you always been in wine?
Well, I started in hotel management. For some reason, I thought that was the job for me. And after training and a couple of years in the trade, I realised it very much wasn't the job for me. And what I always did like was the food element, but particularly the wine element. And in those days, which was, early to mid-80s, it was actually still quite difficult to get into the wine trade. It was very much old-school tie, and I obviously didn't have the right
school tie. Well, you've got a very plummy accent.
Well, I did. It doesn't mean I had the right tie. And it was actually difficult then, I'm not exaggerating when I said I probably applied to over 100 wine merchants to get a job, and it was you need that first step on the ladder, basically.
Yeah, no, we get a lot of people coming to work for us, and they just want to get in the trade, and they just can't get in because it's just so hard, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, after that, you had places like Oddbins that were very useful because Oddbins, I always felt, was a sort of more quirky off-licence wine merchant. And if you worked there, then your next step was to go to an independent wine merchant, but that wasn't an access to me at the time.
Oh, okay. So how did you start out? Who did you work for first?
It was a small company called Bedford Fine Wines, which was just a very enthusiastic Bordeaux lover in Bedford. I was only there a year, but then the best stepping stone job that I had was Les Amis du Vin, which was a top wine merchant. I worked there for 3 years. It was in W1, so it was right in the centre of London, and it was a lovely little shop. And I was very pleased to have that, I must admit. And after that, La Reserve, which was a similar shop. And then we decided we want to move out here. Commuting got a bit boring.
Yep.
And I like to do my own thing, to be honest.
Okay, so how long has Ancient Modern Wines been running for?
Well, 16 years come March this year.
Okay, because you don't look too old. I mean, you haven't got the...
No, I'm 51, so...
51. Oh, you're quite sprightly looking for 51.
Oh, right, oh, good.
I might say so.
Good.
Okay, so 16 years here, sounds like you had about 5 or 7 years in the trade, so...
Well, it'll be 28 years I've been in the trade come this April, and I'm delighted I stayed with it. I've always enjoyed it.
Okay, so let's talk a wee bit about Ancient Modern Wines, the company itself, just because we don't really talk to people who really deal with really old wines. I've spoken to a few auction houses in the past, but you know, just around looking around your room here, you've got lots of dusty old bottles that are thankfully empty. I presume you've drunk them all yourself?
Yes. I won't tell my wife who said they were dusty, but yes, they're certainly very old. It's one of these things that, I mean, especially with an area like Bordeaux where the wines have such potential longevity of aging, that I never write off almost any vintage. I mean, just giving you an example without sort of sidetracking it, 68 is an appalling vintage in Bordeaux. And I had this bottle with a low level of Calonsegur, and I thought, well, we'll just try this before I stick it into the vinaigrette. And it was lovely. And I couldn't believe it, because it really shouldn't have been quite unpleasant. And it just highlighted to me that you just don't write off any wine from a classical area from top producers.
Yeah,
and I just find that very interesting. And at tastings we go to, people have their own mind about what something's going to taste like. They've looked up Robert Parker. They feel certain it's going to be this that's the best wine. And so often people are proved wrong, or we have nice surprises. So it's that sort of thing that I find really appealing.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty cool. I bought a bottle of wine off you. That's how I know about you guys. We do our team meeting, and at our team meeting we always try and have a nice selection of wines, and we always like to have something special. And then this year we bought a bottle of Penfold's Grange off you, 1981, which I don't know if that was a good year or a bad year, but before I purchased it, I looked it up on Robert Parker, he'd tasted the wine about a year ago, and he'd given it, I think, a 97 a year ago, which gives me a lot of confidence, because I don't always have confidence if someone rates the wine and then 30 years later the wine's going to be tasted. You've got no idea really what it's going to taste.
No, you haven't. And certainly Robert Parker is very useful, but I think there's a bit too much in the looking at the numbers alone. And a lot of people look at the numbers and you know, 97 is so much better than 95 out of 100, apparently. And I've never really understood this. And then, of course, you know, if you go below anything like 85 out of 100, then people think, well, it's just undrinkable. And it just seems ridiculous. You've got 15% of a mark. The last 15% of the ratings is the only one people ever really look at. But Robert Parker is an excellent taster, and I certainly agree with you. I think you take his advice.
We'll talk about that wine, because I want to have a chat about that wine later on. But who are your main clients here?
This is going to sound very strange, but it's sort of half private, I would suggest, and then the rest is sort of business in London who then probably sell to other private people or then sell abroad. There seems to be quite a lot of demand from the Far East now. I say it seems as if I didn't know, but yes, of course, there is a demand for the Far East, but we tend to sell then to people in London who then sell on to there. They're much more geared up to it, and I almost rather people do that, quite frankly. I do worry a bit with very old bottles, because cork, basically the elasticity of the cork will go after about sort of 40, 50 years. So I always worry if you send something about 70, 80 years old any distance, because the cork could easily fall in, it'll start seeping. So it is a worry on that side. So I prefer to send it in this country if possible, the old, very old bottles.
Oh, okay. And what sort of age do you typically deal with? How old are they?
Well, looking at our stock at the moment, I'd say the majority of the stock would be, say, between sort of 20 and 30 years. But obviously when it comes to the anniversary bottles, which we tend to specialise in, the main demand comes from when it's sort of 40, 50, 60 years old.
Mm.
So we've just hit 2013, and basically the years people are looking for are 73, 63 and 53. And so we tend to buy a couple of years in advance to get stock of these things, because it's quite difficult. And I've got to make sure that the stock we get is presentable, because it's mainly for gifts, and the levels are as good as possible, because if people do drink them, obviously, I hope they do.
You mean ullage levels? Is that the right word?
The ullage levels.
Ullage,
yes, exactly, because the cork is just it's a natural substance, and it unfortunately loses, as I say, its elasticity, and so you all get air in, which is great in very, very, very small quantities, but over a period of time, get too much air in, and oxidation is the result.
Mm.
So, that's the sort of age. For drinking, I would be looking at 20 to 30 years old, but as I say, we do have a lot of older bottles because of the anniversary aspect.
Let's talk about sort of some of these wines and get a feel for what sort of wines you'd have. If I was celebrating my 50th anniversary, I certainly wouldn't be drinking a Chablis, for example.
No, exactly.
So what sort of, you know, as we work back, you know, talking in decades, you know, let's start at, well, what's...
Well, let's try 50, because 50 is an interesting one, because 63 was an appalling vintage everywhere, except for port. And vintage port was, it was one of the best vintages, well, one of the best vintages of the century, really. So that's great, because you know you can happily, so you can always suggest port anyway, because it has such a long drinking window.
What is the drinking window for port?
Well, it's never a fixed one, because it's, so it's, it, I would say it's probably 30 years. From a thing wine, like, because the point is that with port, because it's a sweet wine, you can drink it when it's very young. So when you're tasting it, although it's sort of very
acidic and
tannic. Well, and chewy, and it's not as bad as very young Bordeaux. But to get the best out of it, I mean, you could certainly, say, enjoyed a 63 port in the early 70s, and you'll be enjoying it for another 20 years at the top end. So you're looking at a very big window for a vintage like that.
So it's a 20 to 70 years.
Well, yes, it's very long. But when it comes to Bordeaux, I do tend to warn people, and so 63, for example, is a dreadful vintage in Bordeaux. I think we have five examples of it, and I do warn people that, you know, this is probably not drinkable. But they just want the number on the bottle very often, so if that's what they want, then I'm afraid that's it. But I do warn them. I don't just let it go.
A lot of people in the UK, compared to other parts of the world, really do like grab-a-granny type of things. They like the really old wines. I like wines that are quite fruity as a general rule.
Yeah.
So I find sometimes when the primary fruit's gone, I'm not really enjoying it as much as some people do.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. There are two ways of looking at it. Definitely in this country, we tend to prefer older wines, and probably just some people, wines are a bit too old. But
close to necrophilia is the word.
Yes. Well, I know. I thought you might bring that up, but I would say that it's not quite as bad as that. I mean, giving you an example, I went to a Clive Coates tasting a few years ago of Sociando Malle, and some people said, "Oh, the '96 isn't this one? '96 is a lovely vintage, but it was very young at the time, and it was all tannin and chewy and this, that, and the other." And some people saying, "Oh, this is marvellous. I'm going to really enjoy this sort of thing now." And then we got to the 1970, and people were saying, "Oh, no, this has had it, this has passed it." And it was so frustrating, because that the 70 showed exactly what the Chateau was aiming for. Everything was in balance. The tannins had all gone. You had subtle, complex, tertiary flavours. It was exactly what one should be aiming for. So I understand the idea, and a lot of New World wines obviously are very much fruit-driven, but the classic areas of France and particularly Bordeaux, they do need time, and you get that extra flavour that you just don't get anywhere else. So, you know, every aspect has its pluses and minuses, and I think you can keep wines too long. But when they're at their best, you really get to see why you kept them in the first place, quite frankly.
So, talking about wines that are, say, 50 years old, you've mentioned port often will stand up to that age. What other wines would stand up to being a 50-year-old wine and drink reasonable?
Yeah, well, Bordeaux from the right vintages, and Burgundy just about. The thing is that...
I always think Burgundy doesn't last.
Well, Red Burgundy is from the very top producers, though. You may have to be looking at Domaine de la Romanée-Conti or Henri Jaillet or something like that. But it's more than... I mean, the Northern Rhones would. The modern-style Northern Rhones would last that length of time.
The Goat Rotis.
Yes, and Hermitages, that's right. But then you never saw them. Because people, it was a little-known area 50 years ago. I mean, one of the great wines of the century was Hermitage La Chapelle 61, and that is still drinking superbly. I say that on everyone else's notes, because I've never had the pleasure of it. But it's one of the great wines. So they always had the potential, but they were so little produced, so little exported. I think a lot of it went to Switzerland rather than this country. And so you didn't see it. So we rarely see old Rhones now at that sort of level. Italian wines, not really, no. I think
what about Barolos? Do they?
Well, not really. I mean, I've tasted some old Barolos that are pretty shameful now. It's not very pleasant at all.
They're not pleasant young either.
So. No, well, I taste some of them, but yes, I find Nebbiolo Group a bit frustrating. Madeira's the safest bet of all, because that just goes on forever, basically.
I've had a 100-year-old Madeira, yes. And that was... It wasn't a primary fruit there, but it was lovely for what it was.
Well, that's middle age for Madeira. So.
Oh, really?
Well, yes. I mean, I think when you get to sort of 150, 200 years old, I mean, I've had them from the sort of 18th century, and I find them a bit tired, to say that, to be polite. But no, I tend to port Bordeaux for old wines is always the safest bet, really.
Yep. Okay. And Madeira.
Madeira. But as I say, it's a small market, and a lot of people think it's something that the maiden aunts used to drink, and not for them.
And when would you say that Bordeaux, you know, for a typical vintage, you know, from a good producer and a typical vintage, you know, what range should you expect?
Yes. Well, to take 1990, which I think is one of the my favourite vintages in Bordeaux, and it's always quite difficult because it was always in balance almost from the word go. So it's been drinking beautifully for the last sort of 10 years, and I think it will do for the next 20. So that really wasn't that old before it was ready to drink. If you go to 1985, which is a vintage that most people wrote off because they said it was far too lightweight and that it would only last literally, I'm not joking, but about sort of 5 or 10 years. And here we are 27 years now later, and it's absolutely beautiful still. So I'm afraid with Bordeaux, you can't tell. You can't tell. It could be a massive hulking grape vintage like 2000, but it may not last any longer than an elegant vintage like 85.
Yeah.
So this is one of the complexities, but the enjoyable aspects about Bordeaux. And also, I feel I've got something to tell customers because it is quite complicated.
Would you expect a sort of average vintage from a good producer to last 30, 40, 50 years? Or
It depends.
I know it's as long as a piece of string. I'm just trying to, because I never think Bordeaux wines last as long as some, you know, people talk about wines being 50, 80 years old, and I've read some books and said, oh, this wine was drinking well 100 years later, and I think, no, it can't be.
Well, you have to be a bit careful, because certainly in the last 10 years, the modern style, there's been a distinct sea change in Bordeaux, and they do seem to be, they won't like it and probably admit to it, but they're definitely making wines more New World in style, whereas California are making wines a little more European in style, so they're sort of gradually meeting a bit halfway across to the Atlantic somewhere. I think it's frustrating because, I mean, give me an example, Chateau Palmer is one of the great Bordeaux chateaux, and since 1961 has been seen in the sort of, I would suggest, the top 10 of consistent brilliant producers. But their 2001 could easily have come from the Barossa Valley, and it just tasted nothing like Palmer. To me, Margaux, again, obviously one of the great Bordeaux producers, their 2000, very nice wine, but at a big tasting I went to, it certainly has a style of its own, and there were 11 wines that tasted of a style and brilliant. The 2000 was a very good wine, but it didn't represent any of the other wines at all. It was a totally new style, and it does worry me a bit with Bordeaux. So, rudely, I can't remember what your original question was, but
how long would you expect?
Oh, how long would they last? Well, all I'm saying is that the modern style, there's a worry that they won't last anything like as long as the older style. It's a difficult one because in the 60s and 70s, the wines that they produced were, because of lack of investment, were rather dried out. This isn't at the very top end, but a lot of Bordeaux, they were dried out, lacking in fruit and lacking in charm. And they got very complacent in Bordeaux, as in other parts of France. And this is one of the reasons that New World wines became so popular early 80s, because people actually wanted some fruit in a wine and not just these dusty old things. So I feel that the sort of halcyon era outside of, say, maybe the 50s, was probably in the 80s, where they were making wines traditional style that would last and just really very much the Bordeaux style, but brilliantly made, but with some modern technology thrown in.
Okay, and how long do you think a typical Bordeaux...
I'm still not answering your question. well, if I'm saying something, you know, I take 1990, very good vintage. If you take a sort of mid-range wine, I don't know, Chateau Talbot, I would like to think that 30 years is no problem at all for a wine like that. So from very good vintage, good to medium producer, 20 to 30 years should not be a problem.
Okay.
And that's not just drinking it old for the sake of it. That's because you get these extra flavours, the tannins have gone, and you've got a much more complex style.
Yep. Okay. But what about when they start getting 40, 50 years old?
Well, it's hit and miss then, quite frankly. But as I say, sometimes it can be a very pleasing hit. But yes, once you start getting sort of dusty smells, musty smells, people describe them as old wardrobes and all sorts of unpleasantness. But I don't know. You know immediately. If it smells unpleasant, then you just get rid of it, really.
Okay. So that's coming into the sort of wines in there, 30-year-old sort of stuff, and obviously 20-year-old. You must start getting a bigger range.
Well, you do, but then you don't want to go too much into sort of cru bourgeois. You wouldn't necessarily want to, for example, I don't know, something like Labagorce Zede or Patache Doe or something like that. You wouldn't want necessarily the 1990 now. I think it would be too old. It would be interesting, but they just haven't got the depth of flavour or the ability to age. So I think you have to start being careful, to be honest. It's definitely got to be a classified growth.
Okay, Richard. Well, thank you very much. And I think next week we'll continue this conversation. So thanks very much.
Great. Thanks very much.